Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Ryan Kelly Morning After, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. I'm Ben Fredrickson, sitting in alongside Doug Vaughn.
Hello, Fred Z.
Jay Randolph Jr.
Ben, Fred, how are you?
I'm doing well. Iggy Plowsy, Sea Monster behind the glass. It's another fantastic lineup today, in my opinion.
Right. Oh, this is a fine lineup. Yeah, this is a fine lineup.
I think the listeners just love it when we're here and when Tim's away.
They're waiting for Timmy. It's starting to come. Iggy's getting upset, I think.
I know, he's a little sassy, but he did bring in cookies today.
Yeah, cookies.
And they're good.
And a nut mix.
Oh, my gosh. I stayed away from the nut mix. Something about plunging my... I'll stay away from that. I did eat a couple cookies. They're good. And I tried to give Doug a couple, and he's refusing.
Doug does not... You said grab Doug a cookie, and I knew Doug doesn't mess around with sweets anymore.
I don't eat a lot of them. I do eat cookies for
I think
time.
It's offensive when Iggy brings in homemade cookies for everyone, and you won't even sample one. You won't even have a half of one.
Maybe on the way out.
I tried to tuck one into your mouth there, and you got all offensive.
I bet Doug goes knuckle deep in Iggy's nut mix before this show is over.
The nut mix. Clip that off.
It's 7 o'clock in the morning. I don't eat a lot of cookies at 7 a.m. Well,
they look like fantastic.
Yeah, it's like a breakfast cookie.
Oh, there's no such thing as a breakfast cookie.
There should be.
I may have one on the way out, if that's all right.
But, Benford, speaking of this line combination, the last time we were all in studio, I thought we had a really powerful show.
Thanks,
I thought
Bob.
It was really funny.
Powerful one.
Yeah, we had a lot of good comments on the text line and the fan page. So
key was we got it to 10.
That's
the whole goal.
Right about 7:30 is where it usually takes a turn for the worst. You're going, all right, what do we got left?
you start playing all that audio quick.
I really, as Floyd Mayweather would say, I blew my load on the, the audio.
Blew your load early. More importantly, besides the cookie and the nuts. I was cleaning the car yesterday, and if you listen to me over the years, I have like 50 boxes.
Liar.
No, it's like 50 boxes. Of Upper Deck cards in my trunk. I've never taken them out. Even when I got this card, I just moved the boxes from the Volkswagen into this car trunk instead of inside.
Sound.
But one of the boxes opened up, so I brought in the packs. They're 1995 Upper Deck Series 1, so 22 years old.
96 is what I got.
Oh, it could be 96. There he's lying again. 96.
Wow.
So over 20 years old. So periodically, just open up a pack and you can let people know what cards you got. I don't even know what good rookies.
This is back when they really made good cards. They're thick, you know?
Oh, I have Jeff Kent when he was on the Mets.
I don't remember any.
Here's Joe Girardi when he was a catcher.
From 96.
Look at him. He doesn't look any different.
Looking
here. He's aging well.
He ages well, Joe Girardi, yes.
He's a little grayer up
top.
Wow. A little salt and pepper in the hair there, but he looks good.
I have a holographic Hideo Nomo.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
That is a nice pickup.
That'll probably get you some money on the playground there.
I got to bust mine open here.
Now, in the old days, if you didn't get a Cardinal, you just threw the rest of them into a box that you used to flip and kept your Cardinals.
Iggy and I used to do a card show.
We did. The great Gerard Dulcy.
The Dulcy.
Nice item.
Yeah, Joe Carter.
I didn't get a Mike Leake.
Ryan McCray.
You didn't get a Mike
Leake? No, didn't.
I don't think he was pitching in 96.
Okay.
I got the Rocket, Roger Clemens.
He's not pitching in 2017 either.
No.
I got Fernando Valenzuela as a Padre and has him batting instead of pitching. So you talk about how far
that's
did his career
that's
fall.
A unique card. That's
I like
rare.
That one. I like that.
Yeah.
I got Ozzie Smith.
Do you?
Right? Yeah.
Well, now
like
that's a treat.
It's like a throwback.
Ozzie. I got a Donnie Baseball, Don Mattingly.
I think this is Ozzie Smith from 70. Wait, that can't be right.
I'm trying to find out what a box.
These cards worth anything?
I'm looking right now.
The market kind of Smith. The market kind of fell apart.
Kind of fizzled, yeah. Baseball cards used to be worth something. Not anymore. Unless they're really, really old cards. Like, I'm sure the Jeter rookie card is probably a couple hundred.
Pontus Wagner.
Oh, this is why cards are old school. It's citing his fielding percentage on the back here.
Oh, yeah, that's big for us.
No, I did see the Michael Jordan rookie card. The Fleer rookie card, I think, is anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000, depending on the grade.
Wow.
So some are still worth it.
If you stuck it in your bike spokes, probably not worth as much.
No.
Do you guys do that?
Oh, yeah.
I did that.
I don't do it anymore.
I'm sure Doug and I did, yeah. Well, we used to play this game. You know, you would couple of games we would play. Like I said, growing up on Flat Avenue down in the city, there was a confectionery there. And my grandparents lived not far from there.
But you grew up in Brentwood.
Well, I did till I was in second
grade. Second grade, listening to the show yesterday.
They moved out west.
But as a little kid.
Got his roots are on Flat.
Until second grade, I was on Flat Avenue. And my grandparents lived not far from there on Utah. And there was a confectionery there. And every Saturday morning, he would take us to the confectionery. We'd stop by. I think Mike Smallwood would like this, Jay. We would stop by and get the soft pretzels.
Certainly.
And then he would stop by the confectionery and buy each a box of cards, me and my brother. And back then, they were like, I don't know what, a buck? 20 packs for, they were like 5 cents a piece, something
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
Whatever was in a box. And we'd open them up, we'd keep the Cardinals, and then the rest would go into a box. And the two games we'd play, you'd put three cards up against the wall, and you'd sit back maybe 10 feet, and you'd have to fling your cards at them.
And knock them off.
And the last one to knock the last card down got all the cards in the pile. And then you would flip them too. Say I would be first, I flip 10 cards. And they'd be heads or tails, obviously. And then the other guy would have to flip 10 and match all 10 if he did, and you got the cards. So that's how you actually got more cards. But it was never cardinal cards. You kept your cardinal cards, and the rest of them went into a pile.
It says here on Amazon, a 1996 Upper Deck, but this isn't Collector's Choice, is it?
Series 1.
This is Series 1.
Series 1, yeah. I wanted Series 2.
Well, you didn't get it.
Yeah, Series 2 had some autograph cards in there.
Series one.
Autograph cards.
Yeah, they would have players autograph certain cards, and they would randomly put them in packs.
It looks like it's about it'd be about $32 for the box.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which is... Honestly, when I saw these cards stacked up, I figured you got all of us baseball cards and Jay porno cards.
Hey, now.
But those are the thing, right?
I wouldn't mind.
They used to be, yeah. Now, I do have some...
I'm also wondering...
96, 97... Upper Deck hockey cards in there.
Yeah.
I have some NBA 50 Greatest Player cards. And I have some rock and roll cards.
I've got a Randy Johnson here. I've also got a Jimmy Haynes, who was clearly named after Jimmy the Cat Hayes.
Right.
Pitcher. I would think so.
And I do have, Jay, they're not in my car. They're actually in my closet. I have
Orioles
like
here.
20 boxes of the Upper Deck
PGA Tour
golf cards.
Yeah.
Now, why were these in your car? How long have they been in your car?
When Jay and I did a show,
we used to get stuff.
And Upper Deck used to send us all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Yep.
And they came to town for a card show, and they remember the chick that was running?
Yeah.
Good-looking little lady.
She was fine.
Anna Reno?
But she was... I still have it at home. I have the Upper Deck Jesper Parnevik hat when he used to flip up the bill on said Upper Deck.
Yeah, that's dope.
But she brought me just big boxes of cards to the station.
And we give some away, and we keep some.
And when I left the station, I threw them in my Volkswagen trunk, and they were there ever since.
They're festering.
And now I just moved them from the Volkswagen into this car. Don't bring them inside. No, just put them in this trunk. So they're still in the trunk.
Well, thanks for sharing, man. This is fun. We'll do it throughout the show. And, you know, it's really the most fun I've had since Plowsy and I used to play Pokemon cards.
Iggy, would you mind if we ever all came over to your apartment and just rummaged around a little bit and see what you got?
Come on over.
I don't think that's
take what
idea,
you want.
Probably.
They noticed things when I posted a picture of my porterhouse steak the other day in the background. You could see some golf clubs.
That looked good, though, the
you
steak.
You keep your golf clubs in the, you know, that's where they are. I have extra ones, and I took them out of my bedroom and put them in the living room.
That was a nice setup you'd done there with the baked potato and the beans and the steak. That was
you posted a picture of your dinner.
It was damn good looking.
Sure you did.
Well, that's what the fan page does, so I just kind of follow suit.
Here's my porterhouse.
And homemade cornbread, too.
That's
cookies aren't homemade. The cookies are Toll House. But
oh, wait, you didn't make those?
The ones we're eating today? I put them in the oven, yes.
Well, it looks like you made them. They're in like a Tupperware thing.
I put them in the Tupperware because I wasn't going to bring cookie pan in.
I was sitting there talking about how good they are.
No, they give Toll House credit.
Well, look, there's nothing better than the Toll House. You just break them open and put them on a thing. They're delicious.
All right.
I ain't going to go through all the trouble to make
I'm
cookies.
I'm not going to shame Doug into eating them.
Sometimes you don't even have to put them in the oven. You just go right at the stuff.
Oh. And I make mine a little medium rare, my cookies. I don't let them get... cook all the way through.
That's a good call.
I'm not a great baker. I can bake, but I'm not a great baker.
You're a good cook, though.
Yes, but baking goods, no.
How are your baking skills, Plowsy?
Oh, man, you should have saw me this morning. I was top notch.
Well.
Yeah. I'm one of a high-level prospect right now.
Yeah, you're a good
baker. Jack Flaherty of baking?
Yeah, I'm shooting right up to the majors.
You're higher than normal today, aren't you?
Yeah, it's a good show prep meeting this morning.
Are you some sort of dirt sous chef?
Maybe he got a good batch.
He knows how to bake. Leave him alone, Doug. He baked up a good show. We have a good one. This is the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour. Design Air Heating and Cooling has over 75 HVAC technicians, so they always provide fast and friendly service. The website, designairservice.com. They're the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train.
Sure is.
We got some great guests lined up. 8:30, Jim Duquette, former GM, now a baseball analyst. You know, we've had him on the show before. He's going to join us. We have a lot to talk about, of course, with Mike Leake being traded to the Mariners for a prospect you've never heard of, and the Cardinals gave up some cash in the deal to free up some room for some of these younger pitchers. We'll dive into that with Jim Duquette, talk about the Cardinals' strategy. We'll also catch up with Derek Gould, who's going to join us via GFI Digital. He'll talk with us at 9:15. A lot of Cardinals baseball discussion. So the news came out yesterday, right after the show ended, that the Cardinals had sent Mike Leake to the Mariners. They ended up giving, I think, you know, $700,000 in international cap space, along with about $17 million, which will cover like the next year of Mike Leake's salary. But they get out from underneath that contract that he signed, and they pick up a two-way player in the deal, a defensive infielder. They like his upside there, but mostly this was about getting out from under that Leake contract.
Oh, you think?
I think so.
This is the biggest dump I think I've ever seen.
Well, it's,
you traded a guy in your starting rotation who has had some success in the major leagues, and you gave him $17 million.
$17 million,
Doug. For a Class A shortstop who's hitting .219.
Well, he's that's got defensive salary, upside, Doug.
Yeah, right.
You really didn't.
That's the salary dump of all time.
You really didn't want to keep Mike Leake.
It's
well,
not,
I'll say. Well,
that's a huge
I'll
amount
say,
of cash.
I'll say this. When's the last time a team dumps a star, a quote, contending team? I say that in a little
Be careful.
Team dumps a starter for a minor league player who won't contribute this season, and fans are going, thank God! That doesn't happen very often.
There were a lot of fans yesterday rejoicing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so many people wanted Flaherty up here. Now he is. He starts Friday. But that frees up some money. You know, do you go out and use it for Lynn? I mean, they have to go out and get a bat. But that was the main thing, is just freeing up. Now, Doug, I don't know. I wouldn't poo-poo on that Double-A guy because he's been sought after by a lot of teams.
Oh, yeah. By who? We'll never see that guy. That guy will never see the light of day in the major leagues.
So Gersh's two moves so far have been a salary dump and a minor leaguer for a minor leaguer.
These are Mo moves.
It's Mozeliak's making all the moves.
And we actually have...
But it's Gersh's watch. I mean, even though Mo's still pulling the strings, I'm sure. I mean, he's the GM, so these count as his moves.
Gersh certainly has not put a stamp on his young tenure yet.
This is John Mozeliak, president of baseball operations, on the Leake trade yesterday via the conference call.
Go ahead and hit the lever.
I think this is a team that's difficult as far as like to put your exact thumb on what you want to see done in terms of how you think about future trades or future free agent market. But having said that, it will give us some more flexibility moving forward. We did eat some money on this contract. I'm not going to get into specific terms, but it was also about creating space, and really felt like this was an opportunity for us to allow players like Flaherty, Dakota Hudson, you saw Luke Weaver last night, and just trying to position ourselves for the future. As we were looking at where we wanted our organization to go, we have two realities. One is we have a lot of young pitching coming, and we felt like for us to start our offseason now made more sense than trying to wait. We had an opportunity to do this deal with Seattle and decided it was the right time to do it. And therefore, we felt the importance to start this younger track of pitching moving forward beginning today. And then the other component of this, as we talk about our offseason, is our outfield depth. And at some point, we will have to cross that bridge as well. But as we look to continue to compete, look at the ways that gives us our best chance to win in 2017, also allowing us to focus a little bit on our future was what today was about.
Admitted they ate some money in the deal, and
he didn't go specific.
You had to if you're going to get rid of Leake at this point. There's two ways you go about that. You say, look, this guy's had a terrible second half, and we're going to stick with him and try to get him right. Or you say, look, we got to get away from this thing. I was honestly, surprised they found a team that would take him, but just with how poorly he had pitched so far in this second half, he'd really gone downhill. He couldn't really figure out if it was related to the shingles thing he had last year or what was going on. You know, Leek's an interesting guy. I wouldn't say that he ever came across as he was unhappy here, but you never got the sense that he was really loving it either. He's just kind of an under the radar, kind of quiet individual. And it seems like the teammate, I was really kind of a little bit surprised by the reaction from the clubhouse. We have, you know, some blistering comments from Lance Lynn that we'll get to. Tommy Pham seemed surprised. You had some guys who talked as if they didn't realize how poorly Leek had been pitching lately. But these guys, I think, look at these rookie call-ups as, you know, completely unproven. So they don't get as excited about a Jack Flaherty as the rest of the world does. They say, you get rid of a guy who can pitch 200 innings a season, who goes out there and takes the ball every fifth day, who's in a down spot right now, but we've seen how good he can be earlier this season even.
What does he make?
When he looked like an all-star,
he's
gone for nothing.
2 months, he was terrific.
Absolutely.
What does he make on an annual basis?
It's about 17. Well, he'll make 17 next year. That's how they're ended up.
He will make $17 million next year.
And San Francisco traded Duvall, who's going to hit like, what, 30 or already has 30 home runs in Cincinnati?
80 and 76 with over a 4-point ERA is going to make $17 million in a year. I know guys that have done 5 to 10 years in jail.
Great agent.
In prison.
Great agent.
I mean, what in God's name is going on? I'm going to say this again for everybody out there listening. And I don't care how much you like baseball or how much you like money. This is silly. This is a guy that's 80 and 76 with a 4 ERA and is going to get paid $17 million. You think something screwed up? I do.
That's how much money they're making. All you got to do is be a starting pitcher. If you can get a starting gig and get to that first big contract, you got to admit, this is why all the relievers want to be starters. Why Trevor Rosenthal said for a few years, I want to be a starter. No kidding. if you're a mediocre starting pitcher, that's worth $14, $15 million a year.
I mean, this is a guy that couldn't hold Bob Forsh's jock. I mean,
no,
it's a joke.
When I'll play devil's advocate on this a little bit.
A little bit. First of all, 76.
First of all, we undervalue. Here's what we do.
We overvalue.
He'll pitch those 200 innings a year. Go ahead. Give us that.
Yeah, great.
We do undervalue that.
Okay.
We undervalue guys who take the ball every fifth day. We undervalue guys who make, I'm not kidding, who pitch 200. Look how many guys
make 200 innings a start. They pitch every 5 days.
A lot of them don't. That's my point. A lot of them get hurt. A lot of them miss significant amounts of time.
You save the bullpen, but that just means you're 200 innings of sucking.
He has been reliable. Last year, if you believe in the statistics, the defense hurt him a lot. He had a lot of unearned runs.
They were probably in the field going, I'm pissed off. This guy's making the money.
The defense didn't do him any favors last year. And this year, for the latter part of the season, he was really good. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about this guy looking like an all-star.
Wasn't he top five in ERA for like the first two and a half months of the season?
Year, he was close to the top of the
league.
This year, first two months.
Close to the top of the league for the first month and a half or something.
And I remember a guy tweeting out when he was like an ERA of like 1.8, and then he had one bad outing, and a guy who is like a fantasy baseball guru tweeted out, I forgot who it was, said, this is what you're going to get from Leek the rest of the year. Dump him now while he still has value and get something else for him. He will end up with his career 4-point ERA by the end of the year, and here it is.
Well, that was a good call. And you do wonder, just with his build, if he has, you know, his second half splits have never been good. You wonder if he has a hard time holding up.
He looks like me. I make fun of my body type all the time, but seriously, if me and him stay, he has a little bit more muscle mass. But in a t-shirt, you can hardly tell.
That's from throwing.
I do think that when you're that kind of body, when you have those shingles and you lose, God knows, you know, you lost a ton of weight, it's hard for guys to get back to that.
Here's what you can't explain away though.
With the Cardinals, since he signed that whopper of a deal, he's 16-24 with a 4.46 ERA.
Yeah. I mean, he ought to have to give some back.
And since that's against the NL Central. So that's how he's pitched against teams that
we're supposed
no,
to.
No, no, no. Wait. Hold on a second. I'm screwing this up, but I want to get it right. I apologize. Hold on one second. I had this looked up earlier.
Yeah, I don't think he's had 40 starts against the Central.
No, so against the NL Central, those were his stats against the whole. So with the Cardinals, he's 16-24 in 56 starts with a what was the ERA? 4.46 ERA. Okay.
That's not
against the division, he's 5-14 in 27 starts which is obviously not good. He never beat the Cubs. He never beat his former team, the Reds. He's got a 5.04 ERA. NL Central hitters are hitting 300 against him and slugging 441.
I get 41. The sense.
The division has figured him out, and it was if he got out from underneath him and got him somewhere else. I'm not going to say he'll never be good anywhere. He's 29 years old. He was one of the few guys who came directly to the majors, you know, without pitching in the minors. So he's still a young guy. There's a chance he figures this out. But I can understand why the Cardinals looking at the Flaherty's and the Alcantaras and the Luke Weavers and the Dakota Hudsons are going, look, we can't wait around on this guy anymore.
It's really surprising that they found somebody to take $38 million for that contract. I mean,
I'm surprised they didn't have to pay more than $17
million. What are the Mariners looking at that they say, yeah, we got to have that guy in our
rotation? Their rotation is trashed.
It must be.
It's absolutely trashed.
Well, look at all the guys in the DL from them.
They don't have any long-term
Iwakama,
answers.
Hernandez, Paxton. And they're only three out of the wild card, so yes. I guess they're figuring, and maybe, okay, they're going to pay a salary next year anyway.
Yes.
But so it's costing them nothing,
yeah, and maybe he
and three out. There's still
up,
a shot
you know,
for
you
them.
Never know. We've seen the Cardinals pick up guys who didn't look like much before, and they a change of scenery can do a guy good. That's what they're thinking.
That's a pretty big contract for hoping for a change of scenery.
Well, they can the contracts now. They don't really mean anything now anyway. You can pay them to go away.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if it didn't mean anything, the Cardinals wouldn't have shipped them out of here.
No, I'm saying you're not married to guys through the length of their contract anymore is what I'm saying. There's always a way to get out of it.
Well, they proved this yesterday by
exactly.
paying $17
million. We talk about these contracts that coaches sign in college sports and how big of it's like it's all fake.
I mean,
that really tells
you something when you're going to give up $17 million. Sure. Just
yeah, this is not getting rid of Brian Peña. I mean, you know, this is significant cash.
And he has a no-trade clause, so obviously he agreed to go to Seattle.
Yeah, that didn't shock me.
Well, it's closer to Arizona. Which he wants to be close.
Wasn't he from that area originally?
He's from out west. Yeah. He wanted to get closer to out west. That was something he wanted to do when he was looking at free agent teams before he came to St. Louis. So,
if you're him,
in Seattle. He grew up a Mariners fan, and I think they do spring training in Arizona, so he'll be closer.
That's perfect for him. I don't know what in St. Louis would have kept him here. It's not like things are going great here, and I'm Mr. Popular.
I never got the
Louis.
Impression that he that he was really a fit culturally with the guys in the clubhouse. I don't think they disliked him. I think he certainly had some guys, but in terms of overall fit, I never got that. I never picked up on that.
Don't you think if you were getting paid $15 million, you'd find a way to get along with everybody and be part of the crew?
Well, I don't think he was a cancer or like a stick in the eye or anything. I just don't think he messed with
in
he was a California kid. I mean, he's you know, you don't necessarily,
different.
If you pick up any guy from California, play him in the Cardinals clubhouse, I don't know that he's going to feel at home. All
you
of
think
a sudden.
That's it? It's just the state?
No, I think it's a lot of things. A lot of the guys in the clubhouse seem to be floored by this. We have some sound from Tommy Pham, who tried to win the Cardinals the game yesterday, but needed some help and didn't get it. Tommy Pham, who continues to be the best player on this team. This is what he had to say about the trade of Mike Leake.
Hit that lever, Plowsy. Hit it now.
Is it kind of a jolt to come in today and find that Leake had been traded?
Very. I saw it when I was foam rolling today, looking at the TV, and it said Mike Leake traded, and I was like, is this a joke? You know, but April Fool's was months ago, so it's shocking all of us, you know. I was very surprised.
Disappointed, too?
Leake's a true pro. You know, there's not too many guys who show up every day and just do their job. You know, he's the last of a dying breed.
Last of a dying breed.
When a team is contending for either division or a wild card, does that send a message that maybe they're not contending as much as you thought or what?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I expected something different. You know, maybe we receiving a player instead of trading a player, but you know, it is what it is. I just show up every day and do my job.
Yeah, I think he started to say it's the message it sends, and I agree with him. I think yesterday was kind of the end of the line for this season. When you deal a pitcher in your rotation and you lose to the team right ahead of you in dramatic fashion, Cubs win and you fall six out and all that happens in one day, I think that's yesterday.
Good night, Irene.
Hold on one second here, because yesterday you went FS1 Doug on the Cardinals being in this thing, and if they can just get hot, they can win it. Now you're backing down from that.
Yeah, if we could have just gotten hot, we could have won the baby.
But we didn't get hot enough.
We did not get hot.
FS1 Doug would never admit a change in thinking. So clearly the situation changed. So how would FS1 Doug feel now?
He would.
Is he lost his mustard?
No, he would probably call in sick on this particular day.
I'll disagree with both of you.
Talk about football.
I don't think it's the Cardinals giving up. I think Flaherty can pitch better than Leak.
Oh, I don't think there's any question.
So how are they giving up if you're putting in a better pitcher than the piece of crap you got rid of? How is that giving up?
I think it kind of signaled to the players that this was a guy that was a pretty good player for 2 months, and they want nothing back even in return for him. It's not a shot at Flaherty. It's that you didn't even get anything back for a piece that was a significant.
Yeah, you
piece
saved
of
a ton
team.
Of money. That was the whole point of it.
Well,
to get rid of the contract.
Saving money doesn't win division.
It could next year, but Leak wasn't helping this team fight for a division title or a wild card spot. Flaherty might. You see what Weaver's done his last two starts.
Well,
you bring this guy up, maybe he pitches two or three games. You weren't getting that from Leak.
Even when you're kind of quote-unquote throwing in the towel, you still can bring the fan base in and say, hey, we got these young pitchers that could potentially be in the rotation with Hudson, Weaver, and, you know, with Flaherty. And so that kind of... rejuvenates the fan base a little bit, because I'm sure they were tired of seeing Mike Leake go 3 1/3 inning, giving up 5 earned, you know, walking 4. I mean,
I just think maybe
it's a change of pace.
If you're a player and one of your teammates,
players are different. I'm talking about fans. I'm players.
But
yes.
From that Tommy fan perspective, you're a player and one of the teammates. Maybe you like him a lot. I know they have lockers right next to each other. Maybe that's one of your good friends, and you see that the team just got rid of him, and you're getting nothing back for him.
Yeah, Tommy Pham wasn't...
doesn't send the greatest message. Yeah. I understand that Flaherty's probably better than Leak. He's probably a lot better than Leak. And next year, they'll be much better off. But just at this moment in time, to trade a member of your starting rotation and get nothing back in return doesn't send the greatest message in the world.
I think also you got to think, if you're trying to wrap your brain around how their players respond to it, you got to understand the way that baseball works. They don't anoint prospects like... media, like the rest of us.
No, they don't.
They look at Jack Flaherty's going to show up in San Francisco, and people are going to go, "Hey, Jack," you know, and like I'm not saying they're going to be mean to him, but he's just a kid. That's what they're going to view him at. I'm not saying I think he will be better than Leak had been. Will he be better than Leak at his best? Well, we haven't even seen the guy pitch a major league game yet. Can we at least say we don't know that?
And I'm sure
we don't need to say right now that Flaherty's going to be better than Mike Leake for his career. Cardinals certainly hope he will be. They're betting on that. But can we wait till you see how he pitches in a game? We don't know.
To some players, they see the
that's
young
what
guys,
they're saying.
Young guys come up and they probably see them as a threat.
Sure.
They go, uh-oh, here's the end.
And you better believe
the
that the
me.
Guys who are on this team, they went through this earlier this season where there's kind of this like Memphis, you know, this Memphis, it's not a click, but these guys come up from Memphis and they take off. And there's this new energy, and everybody's going nuts for these guys from Memphis. And the older guys are going, man, you know, we're the proven ones. Well, they put themselves in that position by not performing up to their potential. So now there's a lot of guys. This team is kind of – it's a team in flux. And I think that's what yesterday was about. It was about the Cardinals saying, look, this season we've had an eye on 18 as soon as this season went where it went. And we're not trying to lose in 2017, but we're not going
to
do anything this year that hurts us for next year. That's what this was about.
Well,
and Mo said that in the conference call. Mo said, look, we have to keep an eye on what's that. We're excited about these young guys. We had to clear space for them. And you heard him say, we're going to have to do the same thing with the outfield at some point, too. So if a deal comes up where they have a chance to streamline their outfield headed into the offseason, they're going to do it now. They're going to do it. They're not going to wait around. And I think they've given this team enough chances to get itself together and do what it can do. And Mo's going, look, we built a flawed team. We're realizing that. We're trying to get things in better shape for next year. And if the players want to complain about it, they should have done something about it.
Do you think they give Tommy Pham a legit shot every day next year in the outfield? I don't know
at this point. I mean, they've had opportunities to...
To me, he should be playing every day.
Yeah, how could
I think you should pencil him in every day. He's phenomenal.
They've had opportunities to say, look, Pham has convinced us. Pham is going to be a part of this
what
team.
What more do you need to do?
They said that, but I don't think they're gonna say any of this stuff. I mean, they have to trade outfielders to get what they need.
Right now, we're better than Grichuk and Piscotty. Although Piscotty had a down year, could be better.
He plays every day. He's an everyday guy.
No, but I'm saying they haven't really, like Benfred said, came out and said, "Hey, we're gonna pencil in Tommy Pham. He's our outfielder, and then we're gonna kind of work in other pieces, maybe Fowler, maybe Piscotty. What do you do with Martinez, etc." But they will never say that. I think that's That's a slap in the face to Tommy Pham because he's done everything. Outside of his age and his eye issue, he's done everything.
I don't know that they've said that about anybody, that they've come out and said,
well, Piscotty,
the young shortstop forever and Jerko's our third baseman.
Well, Piscotty doesn't hit and he gets put in the lineup. That basically tells people that, hey, this guy's going to play and he's our everyday, you know, right fielder, what have you.
They've also learned from doing that with Piscotty and Aledmys Diaz and these guys that is the best thing to do is to kind of publicly anoint these guys because they're still young and they could still have some ups and some downs. So I think they're going to basically leave it as everyone's fighting for their spot every day.
Well, and they gave Wong that contract basically saying he's our second baseman, and then he was shipped down to the minors on three different occasions the last 2 years. So
playing good now, though.
They've kind of learned their lesson anointing people like that.
I got a text from my man out at Sky Park, Mike Watts. And he says,
"What's Watsy got?"
Watsy says, "Can we talk about the bigger issue that Martinez can't throw to a base?"
Yeah, that's cost him. Only cost him the last two games he's pitched.
Yeah, I'll tell
Thank you
what,
Watsy,
cost you a milkshake.
The rush to force Carlos Martinez as the ace down everybody's throat isn't looking so hot right now. I think he is a potential ace. He's the closest thing the Cardinals have to an ace.
No, he isn't. Lance Lynn is the ace. Lance Lynn is the best pitcher they have by a wide margin.
He's the reliable guy.
He's got the most quality strikes in the league.
I don't look at his team and go, Carlos Martinez is the ace. I'm agreeing with you. I don't know maybe Lance Lynn is the ace. And that could be the story of Lance Lynn's career here, is that he was kind of undervalued the entire time he was here, and then he became the guy in a year that the Cardinals either didn't realize it or thought that they realized it too late, or whatever. A lot of people yesterday were going, oh, they got that money back from the leak contract because they're going to re-sign Lance Lynn. A lot of people were drawing that conclusion.
Are you drawing that conclusion?
I don't think Lance Lynn is drawing it, which is much more important than what I would think. Lance Lynn had some comments. This is to Rick Hummel, who was churning out all kinds of good coverage from Milwaukee yesterday. Rick was there, man in the beat by himself on the day all this stuff went down. He's got a ton of stuff. Reaction from the trade.
He's a Hall of Famer.
The game story.
Commish.
He's a beast. Yeah. So here's Rick Hummel on his conversation with Lance Lynn. If you guys don't mind, I'll just read it here. There's a theory that the money the Cardinals have saved on Leak's contract might be applied to a potential extension for Lynn. But Lynn said, you can't say that. There's been no talks. There's been zero communication whatsoever. I'm sure whenever the time comes, when the World Series is over and 5 days, 5 days after, I'm sure somebody will talk to me. I just don't know who it is. They've had a whole season. 5 days isn't going to matter, but I just work here.
I'm sure they'll have somebody talk to me. I'm not sure who it is.
Wouldn't you think if you really wanted this guy to hang around, at some point someone would have said, you mean a lot to us, Lance. We hope to take care of you. We want you to be a Cardinal. Just one conversation at some point like that. Like, we love what you've done. We love what you're doing now.
You would think.
I've raised this question.
We really want you. Yes.
I've raised this question when Randall Grichuk talked about, moving to, when people were asking, I was one of the first people to ask Randall Grichuk, hey, what do you think about moving to a corner spot with the addition of Dexter Fowler? And his response at the time was, well, no one's talked to me about moving to a corner spot, so I'm going to consider myself a center fielder. Now, the Cardinals, I think, would say that, look, there's a way we do things. There's a way we've always done things. We don't go to players, especially young players, and say, look, this is what we're thinking. They find out that when they get there, and then that's just the way it's not. I get it. You've done that way for a long time.
Yeah.
But one thing that is also should be noted is that there's more access to information now than there ever has been before. Guys are going to hear stuff. And I would be of the mindset that they probably want to hear it from you before they hear it from somebody else. And maybe that's not the way the Cardinals seem to see things. That's why Tommy Pham finds out Mike Leake was traded when he's watching TV.
Tommy Pham's cut that Blousy played was very interesting. There was a lot in there in a little amount of time.
What are they supposed to do? Call all the players and say, we're making a deal? Is it okay with you guys?
No, you don't say that. But
he said he found out on TV. How else was he going to find out if the deal was made before the game?
I think you used to find out when you came into the clubhouse and somebody said, hey, did you hear Leak got traded? I mean, that I think he was saying he was surprised to see it when it came across.
Yeah, but are you...
Everybody's probably surprised as soon as they hear it, regardless of how they hear it.
Right.
Whether it's word of mouth or on the TV, or the radio or the internet. I'm sure everyone goes,
we're asking why Leak
just found this out.
Yeah, why Lynn hasn't heard from anybody. The Cardinals may plan on trying to engage in that conversation with him, but I think it's clear reading his quote that he's a little irked that nothing has been brought to his attention yet. That there hasn't been an attempt to sit down. And contracts are talked about during the season all the time.
Yeah, unless the player says, I don't want to talk about it when right. season starts. He hasn't
right.
said that.
He has not said that. He's made it pretty clear that he's open for business. And now I'm wondering if maybe at some point he's saying, well, you had all this time, like, and now I want to see what else is out there. I don't know. I mean, these quotes are interesting.
If you're Lance
you don't hear
Lynn.
A guy talk about this like very often, like this directly, and that's why I like Lance Lynn, because he just throws it out there.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have much of a filter.
But if you're him and you're having a good season and you're in the prime of your career and you're just now a free agent, you'd be crazy not to go to the open market and say, what do you got for me?
Especially if you're Lance Lynn and you can't walk around Busch Stadium and find your jersey anywhere. I mean, you can't, like, they have not, I'm serious.
What do you mean?
He's not a superstar.
It's like, if you're trying to buy his uniform, I had somebody text me the other day, I'm at the ballpark shop, I can't find a Lynn jersey.
Did they have every other player?
They did not. No, but they have the star players. And that's my point, is you're saying he's the ace, yeah. and they can't find a jersey of the guy.
You have to have somewhat of a personality, too.
He does have a personality.
Oh, I think his personality
He doesn't have the personality the Cardinals want to market.
It does.
That's
no,
the difference.
Well, and you don't necessarily see it on the field. You know, he's a...
You do see when he's dog-cussing into his glove?
Well, I mean...
Dog-cussing?
I just don't know that he
cuss a dog.
That as you said, that the Cardinals necessarily want to promote that. I don't know. The guy just does his job, and he does it a lot better than this guy we paying $17 million to get rid of.
And if they want to re-sign him in free agency, this might cost him $10, $20, $25 extra dollars rather than doing it before the All-Star break.
No question.
Because like, teams are going to be coveting a guy like a workhorse like that, so maybe the price goes up for Lynn and you're
out.
Yeah, well, I just don't think he'll want to play for us if it gets free agency. I just feel like he'll go elsewhere.
He'll play whoever.
And then the Cardinals are
money.
Really in a tight spot.
Yeah, he's going to get paid. And if the Cardinals want to pay him the most, then I'm sure he'd be happy to stay here, even no matter what he's saying now. Certainly, a contract offer can change all kinds of feelings.
But if they lose,
but you do wonder, if you're on the other side, you do wonder, okay, well, how's he going to age? How's his body going to hold up? He's a bigger fella. He pitches well like that, but does that body age well? He's a fastball thrower. If two ticks go off that fastball, is he gonna get hammered?
The Cardinals have to decide what they're gonna do in the offseason, and maybe that's why they haven't done it. Is Wainwright coming back? Where are they gonna get Little Leak? Are we saving that money? What else are we gonna do with their outfielders? Who are we going out and get? They have to figure all this out before they can tell maybe Lance Lynn, yeah, we'll give you $18 million a year for 5 years. How'd that sound?
What else?
They have
they
to figure
do?
Out what else they're doing.
Well, and I think it's very interesting when Derek Gould was on with us the other day, and Ben Fred, I think you were dead on that, you know, a majority of Cardinal Nation can be okay with some of the fall off. But I think next year is the year that if the downward trend continues, then the masses of Cardinal fans are going to be pissed. I mean, you know, I think that next year is a huge year for where this organization goes. Either there's going to be some major... We're going to have a new manager if they don't do well next year.
Yeah, you missed the playoff this year, you missed the playoff next year, Matheny is gone. And regardless if it's actually his fault or not, you've got to make changes to show the fan that you're still...
They're in a very interesting situation, and Iggy's right as well in terms of what their plan is. And what they're looking to spend, what can they actually offer Leak, and what can they spend on him? I mean, on Lynn.
Yeah. He. This is Lance on Leak, who actually they got along quite well. Lynn saying, "I enjoyed him quite a bit. We saw eye to eye on some things." Lynn said, laughing. "Some people don't. We don't like to be in the public eye. That's not what we're about. Some people, we're not behind closed doors, one on one. That's where we do our better work." So that's where I do my best work.
We don't really care if they want to be in the public eye or not. We just kind of care how they play. Most people could care less if Lance Lynn or Mike Leake are in the public eye.
They don't care. That's why they don't buy his jersey.
Well, they don't buy this jersey because it's not out there.
Well, they're not selling it. Because
he's not in the public eye.
So you don't go stock up on the jerseys if nobody's buying them.
But if Lynn leaves via free agency and you don't really know what you got with Wainwright coming back at his age and with his problems.
You're asking a lot of Simeon guys.
Waka has been questionable here lately.
Yeah, three innings in his last start.
Yeah, you're figuring that Wilson is there and Martinez is there and you're hoping Flaherty can respond. You're still maybe two starters short.
Maybe they plan on going out and spending some money on Arrieta. They'd rather have Arrieta than Lynn. Maybe we don't know what they're planning on doing.
No. Yeah, the pitching has become a big concern rather quickly.
And that's one of the big positives.
And that also increases the desire to get some of these guys up here and see what they can do at this level. The good news is Weaver seems to be locked in.
And there's a lot of help at the AAA level. They've had a fantastic season down there.
Yep.
So there are players coming through the pipeline.
I could see this if the Lynn contract discussion gets a little dicey or messy in the offseason, that he could sign with the Cubs. I think he would love to play the Cardinals and love to stay in the NL Central.
Go full lackey?
I could see that because I don't know if he would hold a grudge necessarily, but I think he would enjoy playing the Cardinals if this got kind of sour and they kind of lowball offered him. And then the Cubs would be willing to overpay for Lynn because you get him away from the Cardinals. And Quintana hasn't necessarily been the guy you thought you traded for. So you have that security with Lynn. I think that could be a possibility. And that would be scary for us. We'd have to face this guy.
Well, one thing that would really help the DeWitt family afford Lynn and some other free agents if they were to win the DraftKings billion-dollar game they got going on.
Tell me about that.
You think they'd play?
Yes, they would. The DeWitts and everyone else have been waiting for this. Football season almost here, and there's no better way to get closer to the game you love than with DraftKings 1 Week Fantasy Football. To celebrate, DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 contest that is totally free to enter. If you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion. You can win a billion.
Billion.
Buy your own team. Get your own free agents if you win this. With DraftKings, there are many ways to play. Choose between public contests with big cash prizes or private contests where you can compete against a group of your friends. DraftKings also has a beginner and casual contest where you'll play against other people of similar skill level. The best part is you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment. So go to DraftKings.com now. Do it now. And use the promo code. I'm going to say the code now. So
what's the, get ready for the code.
Quarterback.
Mm. Oh, Hasselback.
No, the code. I'll say it again. Quarterback. And that allows you to play DraftKings.
Well, Hasselback was a quarterback.
One, but that's not the code.
Mm. Quarterback.
With $100,000 in total prizes. And if you draft the perfect lineup, what do you win?
A billion dollars.
And no, you don't win the quarterback.
That's the promo code.
I'll say it one more time. Quarterback.
Baby got back.
Quarterback to play your shot to win $1 billion in week one. The contest, totally free to enter. Why wouldn't you play? I don't know why you wouldn't. DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility requirements apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Well, and then when you win that billion, you know you're going to want to be feeling comfortable. And that's when you call Design Air Heating and Cooling.
That makes the world of sense to me.
Gotta keep those dollars cool, baby.
You want to know why? Well, it's because there's they got that no pressure service. They're second to none. They've dealt with the cat. They've dealt with Dougie. They've dealt with Little Poker. Design Air Heating and Cooling will always provide fast and friendly service across the metro area. Whether you reside in Kirkwood, St. Peters, O'Fallon, Belknor, North County, South County, or St. Louis proper, Design Air will take care of you. What you have to do is you got to call them. 314-739-1600. That's 314-739-1600. Or check them out online at designairservice.com. Design Air Heating and Cooling is the number one train dealer in the Midwest, and it's hard to stop a train.
Chew, chew. The text line is active. You know how to find it. 855-282-8255. This is from the Sad Panda. Sounds like you missed a reporting opportunity. I saw Mr. Lynn at the Zac Brown concert. We made eye contact in the bathroom. Should I have asked him about the contract situation right then and there?
Yes. Yes.
I don't think you ever turned down an opportunity to report, Doug.
How many times are you going to see him just in a random
location? Journalism walks in the bathroom with you. You zip it up and you ask.
Do your reporting.
I don't know that you bother, though.
He's a scary dude.
He's not scary.
If you ask a question of him in the bathroom, he could become scary, yes.
He could just, excuse me, sir. Boom.
He doesn't answer questions when he's in the locker room, more or less in a bathroom.
Yeah. Dan in O'Fallon says, enough Cardinals talk. I don't want to mention her name specifically. Discuss a news person on television and letting us know if she's single.
Well, that'd be Hedzy, probably. Is it?
Who would that be?
It's Hedzy.
Who sent that, a nickel?
That was Dan in O'Fallon.
She's single, but I think she's working on the dating game. She had a comment yesterday on Facebook about a pet peeve of hers in the dating game, and I don't really know what the dating game is. When somebody's out on a date and she sees they're out on a date and somebody in the date is on the phone, that bugs her.
Ooh.
And yeah, I said, that would be rude.
I said, you got nice top you're wearing today.
So, that was your comment back to it.
She's a very good dresser.
She didn't respond to that, did she?
Sometimes she'll put a like. Sometimes she just moves forward.
Okay.
What feeling do you have when she likes something that you say? Is there a little sensation there?
Yeah, there's a little.
What happened, Jay? Whoa. What happens if she did the winky face?
Ooh.
Would you just keel over right then and there?
She's done a smile. She wore a red outfit last week, and I said, love the outfit.
Did you?
And she gave me a little smile. And I still think Doug doesn't want to do this, and I understand because they work at different times. But I think if we could, I know we could get $1,000 together for her favorite charity, for her to be part of Foot Fetish Friday on September 21st.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Jay, she's a journalist.
I think you would need more than
great promotion for that show with Ken Earhart and the buck teeth guy, the Chambers guy. He's got a little buck teeth. I don't know if you've noticed. He's got a little bit of a buck teeth.
Yeah,
a little bit of a something's wrong. Something's wrong with the teeth.
He's a fine meteorologist.
Maybe they get a trade deal, get his teeth fixed, but she's fine. I do believe for 1,000 bones to her favorite charity, probably some pet paws or something like that, that I could play with her feet.
I think she could probably get money for charity without showing her feet if she wanted to.
Yeah, but this would be good promotion.
Yeah, I'm sure the station would be all going home on that.
Doug's big channel HR on line one.
Jay, you never comment about the outfits I wear.
No, because you're always so money. I mean, people know that you're going to be dressed to the nines for your program.
I run in moneyed circles.
Mm-hmm.
High cotton.
Like Tim.
I text here that says the Cardinals need an ace. They've overvalued Martinez. He needs to concentrate on throwing instead of his hair. That's from Mrs. Thompson, the blanket quilter. I can't tell if he's serious or joking.
Oh, I think it's kidding.
So here's joking. The thing about the Carlos. Like, all of the older generation, they love to rip him. Like, they just can't stand him. They think his hair is a distraction. He's not focused, yada, yada, yada. But the younger generation, like people like Plowsy's age and younger.
You almost said your age.
Yeah, I was trying to sound more mature. But like the younger generation, like they're like so hell-bent on defending Carlos that like they feel like he can do no wrong. Yeah. And the truth is somewhere in the middle. Like, Carlos Martinez is a really good pitcher. He's the most talented pitcher the Cardinals have. He has had the path cleared for him to be the guy. He needs to be the guy. He hasn't been the guy this season. He's been good this season. He needs to be better. He can be better. Having back-to-back games where you throw a ball away and you hurt your own chances of winning a game, that's not good enough. And he knows it. He's saying it's not good enough. So it's not like we can't talk about his mistakes. But it's not because of his hair. It's because he's not doing his job as well as he needs to.
I love his personality, but it does come down to like the mental aspect. I love the personality, but if it gets in the way of a quality start or if it gets in the way of a win or a loss, then you should address it. But I'm fine with the hair, with the tattoos. I could care less what you look like on the mound. But when you do that little girly toss to second, and then that's when that personality and carefree attitude becomes an issue to me.
Well, I mean,
it's not offensive. It just,
a lot of girls can throw hard.
I mean, he can't win because remember 2-3 years ago when he would have, didn't get a called strike that he thought it was a strike three, he'd pout for a couple innings and people would bitch about his pouting. And now people are bitching because he's all giddy in the locker room and throws water in the face and dyes his hair. I mean, the guy can't win. First of all, he's too pouty. Now he's too happy. Which is it?
He has a lot of personality. I think a lot of people like that, the personality. But more than anything, we just want him to be a good pitcher. I'm afraid that this thing about throwing the bases could become a John Lester type of phobia.
Lester still had a great career, though.
Where you can't make a throw to a base.
I read the story today, and I wondered. It's weird that you mentioned that because that was the first thing that came to my mind, too. Is you've got the pitching coach talking about how when he throws hard, he's fine. When he tries to lighten it up is when he can have problems. Well, he can't throw 95 to Colton Wong or Paul DeYoung at second base. He's got to be able to throw to a base.
You just have to go through your normal motion. Everybody teaches that. If you try to lob it, you might lob it with 10% effort or 20% effort or 30%, and you don't know where it's going. If you take your normal throwing motion and throw it like you always do, you're almost always going to know where it's
going. And no pitcher ever does that when a ball comes back to the mound. It's always like a little underhand toss.
He could just start, I think, didn't Lester like once just take his glove and throw his entire glove with the ball
in
it?
Yeah, he did.
That's a good look.
I mentioned that it'd be great to have Laura come out to
Jay, we get
September.
It.
Well, this is a promo for Bud Select. Bud Select is the official beer of TMA Live, and we'll be at the Dorset location for Hot Shots. A big TMA Live on 9/21. September 21st, we'll be at Dorset, and we thank Bud Select, the official beer of TMA and, of course, of TMA Live. I just opened my next deck of Upper Deck 95 Series 1 cards that Iggy has brought in.
96.
Yeah. 96. Yeah. And I got three players that have been Cardinals, but they're all on different teams. I got Jason Isringhausen with the Mets.
Oh, yeah. Keep that one. That's
I got
good.
Royce Clayton with the Giants.
Yeah.
And I got Joe Buck's former roommate, Todd Zeal, with the Cubs.
Did you?
Yep.
I got Ken Caminiti. How's he doing these days?
I don't think he's alive.
Oh. It's too soon. Come on.
I got Andres Galarraga and...
The cat.
The big cat, yeah.
Montreal?
Look at his stats are just Cardinal. Go from nothing to just bomb. He just bombed at 35.
I don't know if you know, that was kind of interesting era there.
He goes from a nobody to that? A superstar, 96, when he took off.
He was one of the best hitters in the
league.
Oh, my
God. When I was
a
kid, that's all you heard of is Galarraga. I think did he ever play for Texas?
Expos was his big team, yeah. I think. And then here.
I got a Billy McMillan rookie card. Was he
Billy who?
Billy McMillan? Was he big for you, Doug?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. You played for the Marlins.
Mixie.
You don't remember Billy Mix?
I don't remember him.
Yeah, they called him Fast Billy.
Fast Billy's out of the league in a hurry, too.
His career was fast, but it was good.
What year did the Marlins and Rockies come into existence?
95.
95?
Yep.
Okay. Because this would be the first year that...
The Marlins had...
These are 96, so, but in the promo that I had in the box said some of the things in this pack...
Chipper Jones.
And it said the very first cards featuring the Marlins and Rockies logo. Gotcha. I don't know why they wouldn't have done 95.
Billy McMillan.
You got him. You got Billy.
Let's see what he's up to. Where are they now?
I said I don't remember a lot of rookies from 96. Maybe that's why those boxes are only worth $20. There's really no good cards in there.
They're only worth $20 because they've been sitting in the back of your Volkswagen for
you still have two cars
20
now?
Years.
Two what?
You got two cars? You still have the Volkswagen?
No, I got... The Beetle went bye-bye.
Why did the Beetle go bye-bye? It was such a signature car for
it
you.
Really was.
It was.
It
was still
said,
in good,
here's Iggy.
It was still in good shape, but at the complex, there's a sewer that kind of like is 2 feet up off the ground for some reason.
Sure.
And I was leaving to go bowling, and I'd forgotten my wallet. So I turned around two cars that were parked to go back to the complex, and when I turned around the wrecked car, the last car, the front of my car went up over this sewer and just pretty much tore everything underneath the car.
Oh, no.
Radiator, engine.
That'll do it.
Well, I didn't think anything was wrong. It didn't pop any tires. So I said, start to go to the bowling alley. And halfway to the bowling alley, and every light in that car went on.
Oh, no.
Bing, 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 bing. Check oil, check engine, check tires, check everything on that car. So I got to the bowling alley. It just kind of...
You just leave it there.
Yeah, I didn't. Well,
just
no,
raise
I
the
got
hood
it,
and shoot
I got a towed. I was
right
almost
in.
I was almost in tears. I called my guy at the mechanic down on Dorset. I said, "Can you tow it into the station?" I hit something, and all the lights came on. He called me the next day. He goes, "It's time to say bye." I said, "Can't you fix it?"
Say goodbye to the Beetle.
He goes, "Yeah, I could put all new parts in. It'd be like $5,000." Oh. I almost said, "Do it," because I missed my Beetle. I said, "Well,
we could get another Beetle,
not the same."
No, because I could afford a new car back then. I couldn't afford one when this one went kaput. So I just did a trade deal for put some spots in Kegler's Corner. Got a car.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Doug, we do have an issue on the... I tried code cornerback, and it won't work.
The code is quarterback.
Oh, okay.
The well, Miguel, throws the passes.
What was that? They tried cornerback?
Yeah.
Can you clear this up for Miguel Cairo's Egyptian linen store? Because he says, "Hey, Doug, I tried the code bareback, and it didn't go on DraftKings, but it did work with you last night."
You know, I'm fine. If you want to write in the wrong code, I'm fine. That's more billions for me. That's what that means.
All right. Well, thanks to Design Air Heating and Cooling. No special code there. You just got to call them, and they'll give you a great deal. They have over 75 HVAC technicians, so they always provide fast and friendly service. They're the sponsor of our 7 o'clock hour. Their website, designairservice.com. As you know, they're the number one train dealer in the Midwest, and as Jay always says,
it's hard. To stop a train.
A train.
The train.
Next hour, I will clear up some business from yesterday. Too.
Oh, Iggy has an official apology, which will usually happens when he puts out information that's factually incorrect. So he'll walk that back here in the next hour. And we're also going to catch up with Jim Duquette at 8:30. Derek Gould's joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, live from the Gateway Buick GMC studio.